Welcome to a very special collaboration brought to you by FL Teams, bringing two of your favorite podcasters together, Mr. Bolts and Bats himself, Jeff Macalino, Jay Frog from Fins in the Sea, coming together to break down a Monday night showdown between two teams fighting to stay alive. It's special. We're happy to be here. Where are we going, folks? Welcome to Behind Enemy Lines. All right. Hey, welcome everybody to a very special FL Teams presented edition of Behind Enemy Lines. Get to know your opponent. This one should be fun. We got a really big game coming up on Monday night. 7-7 Saints, 7-7 Dolphins. Nobody thought on prime time this would be the one to watch. But look at us now. So, hey, I'm here with Jeff Macalino. You guys know him from FL Teams. Does a lot of coverage for a lot of the teams that we have in the Tampa area, I think, right? With the Rays and all those guys. Saints fan, closeted. We're bringing him out today. But, again, we're brought to you guys by FL Teams. Seriously, FLTeams.com. You got to go check this out. It really is the one-stop spot for all your things for Florida sports, man, from every college to every game. I mean, look, I'm not a hockey guy, but I can tell you everything I need to know about Florida hockey just by logging on. So it's outstanding to have some podcasts, some great writers, photographers. There's a little bit of everything, man. So FLTeams.com, make sure you go check them out. Just glad to get us started.
Yeah, and hey, this special podcast is sponsored by Symbol. Symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to trade sports teams like stocks and earn cash payouts when your teams win. Symbol has blended sports and the stock market to offer you a new way to invest in and profit off your favorite teams. Use your sports knowledge to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your teams win. Join the 6,000-plus early adopters who have started to profit off their sports knowledge. Visit www.simbull.com or visit the link in the description to create a free account. And when you deposit, make sure you use the promo code FLTEAMS for a $10 deposit bonus to help build your portfolio.
Fantastic. Yeah, man. Hey, I was joking around, you know, when I was doing this week's Fins in the Sea, that I really wish like 6 weeks ago I would have went on Symbol and just thrown 100 on the Dolphins.
You know? Oh, man, it would have been rolling in the payouts.
It would have been Bitcoin style, man. It would have been Doge when it was at a percentage point.
I'll admit I bought the Saints stock at a wrong time, but it's recovering now.
It's recovering. Hey, you got to ride this one out. So, look. What we really thought we would do here, and this is interesting because, you know, first, you know, I'll give a little recap of the Dolphins, where we're at, what's happening, where we were last week, get some update on the Saints. And then legitimately, man, we were talking before this, it's kind of great to have sides of the other team because nobody knows your team like the fan, right? So let's really truly get to break this down and share some knowledge with each other and see where we come out. So last week for the Dolphins was our sixth win in a row. For me, this was my favorite win in all six. And the reason is it was deja vu, man. I mean, we came out after a bye week at home, a division rival, the Jets, punched us in the mouth. 10-0 in the first quarter. Tua's first pass is picked off. Then we go 3-and-out. Two more passes were almost picked off during that. And almost every Dolphins team, or at least it feels that way, like in that reverse of like, here it is. We started to make that little run. Now we're going to hit a hiccup and everything goes, everybody folds, right? And it didn't happen. Like they bounced back and they did this in such a way to just keep grinding through it that then you get to the fourth quarter, you have a 7-point lead, you got the ball and you're like, okay, now we can ice this thing away. And Tua does a Tua thing. I'm sorry, man. I've been rough on him, but rookie quarterback, right? There was no reason to throw a slant on like 3rd and 13. And I mean, they've been looking at this the whole day. So it gets jumped for a pick six. Now you're like, okay, fourth quarter tied with the Jets. But for me, what made it big, man, was Tua didn't change. Walked to the sideline. Flores didn't change. You know, I was flashing back to the game that I call a little bit of your boys with the Saints. Brady's breaking tablets, you know, and they just walked over, took the ball, got it back, marched down, and scored a touchdown. Like, to me, that's what I need to see from a guy that I would say is my QB. I was early on riding him hard, all about there's no emotion and, you know, Tua should be fired up and I don't see him leading. And Flores in every press conference was just like, oh, got to get better. They were better. We got to get better every day. And it was like, there's no emotion on this team. And finally, last week, I understood what a wonderful thing that can be in the NFL. They just grind it through. So, you know, still in another one from the Jets. That's the sixth one in a row. We take them 31-24. You know, brings the record to 7-7. The playoff outlook, I am going to still align from all things Brian Flores and the Dolphins. We're just looking at the Saints next week. Just looking at the Saints.
Yeah, well, there are so many teams still in the playoff picture. And both of these teams are currently on the outside looking in. I will say I was playing around with ESPN as a playoff machine where you can pick every game for the rest of the season. Yeah. I will say that the Saints still have a decent path to the playoffs if they lose this game. The Dolphins do not.
No.
Almost no chance. So it's kind of like a playoff team. They've been saying that a lot about a lot of games. But, win and the Saints are basically – they'd have to really screw it up not to get in. The Dolphins – they're still going to need to win and get some help. Just a tougher race. Gosh, the AFC is such a logjam between 8-6 and 7-7. It's crazy this year.
And dude, we dug such a hole. 1-7, right? I mean, again, it's so funny. I talk about my roller coaster ride, but the Twitter family, the Dolphins fans are fantastic. Dude, it's a great read every day. But you go back and forth, like, look, we don't deserve to be in the playoffs right now. We don't deserve to be talking about it. We're 1-7. I mean, six in a row, let's go in the next one. I mean, literally a lot of stuff is out of our hands. All we can do is win.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a interesting. I mean, the Saints were in a almost the complete opposite spot a couple weeks ago. They lost five in a row after beating the Bucs. If you remember back on Halloween, Jameis Winston got his knee blown out and the Saints were 5-2 and on the pregame shows, they were saying, you know, goodness, if they could just figure out their quarterback situation, they're a Super Bowl contender, and they promptly lost five games in a row. Taysom Hill took over at quarterback. He got that fifth loss out of the way. And then we got the Jets. Good medicine to recover, as anyone would agree. They're a good team when you need a win. last week, to be honest, I didn't want to talk about the game beforehand. Because I thought for sure the Saints were going to lose, to be quite honest with you. And as you probably know, they shut out the Bucs and Tom Brady first time since 2006, which may have been against the Dolphins actually in 2006. And it was the Saints' first shutout since the last time the Saints played the Dolphins actually in 2017 in London. So all things are coming up full circle here. But the Saints' defense just was after Brady the whole game. Sacked him four times, picked him off once, forced a fumble, forced a broken tablet, forced a really not great looking video of him cussing out a Saints assistant coach on the sideline. But a great video of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson getting in his face and smiling. But the Saints now two in a row, and the Saints again, after this Dolphins game, they play the Panthers, who were really struggling, and the Falcons, who, let's face it, they did beat Trevor Siemian's led Saints earlier this season, but you know, Sean Payton owns the team basically, so I don't think that should scare the Saints too much. So we'll see if the momentum keeps building. It's really been behind the defense, obviously, as you can tell from a 9-0 score.
Hey man, I think you and I briefly touched on it, but we're talking the same game, right? That's really what happened. I mean, Houston was a dogfight for Miami to get that first win to get it started. But then that Baltimore game, it's like the light switch flipped. And as a Dolphin fan, this was the D we thought we were going to see all year. And when nothing was happening in those first games, you're like, who the hell is this team? And then I looked at the Saints briefly, right? I mean, you guys went through a little skid there, giving up 30 and 40, right? So, I mean, what happened to the Saints D? How did we get to where we shut out the Bucs?
You know, the Saints have been an interesting team all year because offensively, all season long, they've been missing 5 to 8 starters all season long. That hasn't changed. Even against the Bucs, they were missing their 2 all-pro tackles, Terron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk on offense, which one would hope if they come back soon, they might make a difference offensively. But defensively, they were in the same boat. I mean, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, CD Deuce, as he likes to be called, he missed 5 games. And I believe they may have been the 5-game losing streak, actually, oddly enough. He brings a lot of energy and passion. He's an instigator. He's not always the best. He's our nickel corner. He's a great run stopper. He can sometimes get beat on quick moves, especially moving in on him seems to be a little bit of a exposed spot at times, but he gets under opponents. If you can get Tom Brady rattled and just infuriated, you know, this little 5'10" foot guy out of the University of Florida. He missed a lot of time. Marcus Davenport has also just been wrecking games on the defensive line. Some of the film of him just destroying offensive linemen on his bull rush is hilarious, honestly, to watch. And he's only played in 8 games this year. He leads the team in sacks with 6.5. So it's kind of been the same story on defense. But right now it's about the same defense as what the Saints put out in week 1, which is when they held Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to 3 points. you know, the other thing I'll say in defense of the defense is a lot of those games when Trevor Siemian was starting those 4 games, the Saints were 3 and out like that over and over and over. And the defense did well. The Buffalo game on Thanksgiving is a great example. It was 10-0 at halftime. The Saints had 2 picks. They were doing the best they could to stay in that game. And eventually they just got tired. There were at least 2 or 3 games where they were on the field for over 40 minutes. The offense was not supporting the defense enough to really keep them on their feet late in the game.
Dude, it's so funny just hearing the little bits of this, and I think we're going to find a track. These are very similar teams in not only record, but who they are. I mean, the Dolphins defense, I think the beginning of the year, they came out pressing because of how they played last year. They thought they had to make an impact. Tua gets hurt early, and now we're playing with Jacoby Brissett. And, you know, the dual offensive coordinator thing is always going to be a question. Should we not? But those guys designed an offense and brought in players designed for Tua. And Jacoby Brissett is great on the sideline with a clipboard, but he's no Fitzpatrick. He doesn't bring juice, right? This defense did everything they could. But I mean, you know, it took until Tua got back for this to start back in the right direction. And hearing you talk about, you know, watching your boy bull rush people and it's comical, it literally, man, just sends chills. I've been watching our tackles get bull rushed by the Jaguars, okay? I've been watching Austin Jackson and Jesse Davis look like they're talking to each other in the middle of play about who they were supposed to be blocking while both guys run by. So I'm scared. The defensive ends, they put a little fear, man. Cam Jordan and you know, what you've got coming up there. The offensive line has been, again, for Miami, a big issue. And with your defensive front starting to come on like that. I noticed something watching the Saints game again. You're talking about getting the pass rush, some cornerbacks and all that good stuff. It looked like the Bucs went away from the run. Like, the last couple of weeks, they had been riding Fournette pretty hard. And then Brady throws the ball almost 50 times. Like,
yeah,
it was 9-0.
The Saints run defense now, and the funny thing is, if you look at the stats, because the Bucs got 1 long run by Ronald Jones, which was, I think, their biggest offensive play. So the stats might not show it for the Bucs game, oddly enough, but the Saints run defense going into that game led the league in yards per carry average. And the funny thing is, as I mentioned before, they run a 4-2-5 most of the time. They have the nickel on the field, even in running downs. And DeMario Davis is just a beast, and he hits people and they fall. I mean, so yeah, teams go very pass heavy against the Saints, And the Saints play kind of an aggressive man type defense. So sometimes that can lead to big plays. They seem to never let down against the Bucs, to be honest. That's, you know, just they play up for that game. It's very funny when you were talking about how relaxed Flores and Tua are. Saints are actually kind of the polar opposite. They are a team that's built on swagger and, you know, they're a team that dances more than any other team. They like to talk trash. They like to have fun. It's kind of interesting. There's definitely two different ways teams can go. And I feel like teams that don't have a direction, would be it one or the other, are the teams that frankly don't get a culture built, whether it's we're going to come in here and be professionals or we're going to come in here, we're going to party and we're going to win. And the Saints are more of the party and win type team. They like to talk. They like to dance. I mean, not nearly as much as your defensive dude who got a touchdown. That was
Christian Wilkins. Look, this is the tale of the Dolphins, though, because this is the thing is when you look at the guys, the young guys, a lot of draft picks that are starting to pay off in their second, third year, they have that swagger. They have fun. Christian Wilkins is that dude. If you remember when he got drafted on draft night, he ran up and like bear hugged Goodell. Goodell do not nothing to do. Clemson, when they won the national title, Christian Wilkins is doing a split in the picture, holding like he's just a fool. I love him. I hope he retires a Dolphin. But so the tell of that is, so I'm watching the post-game press conference and they're talking to Brian Flores and they ask him about the dance. And they're like, so what did you think about Christian Wilkins' dance? Stoic Flores just looks at the camera and he goes, I stopped watching really when he's trying to do that spin thing. You know, we got 40 seconds for the next play. We were almost late on that one. So we're going to have to start talking about how long you can actually celebrate. And
that's he's got that Belichick in him.
Yeah, and that's that Belichick. And then when they asked Christian Wilkins about it, he was like, oh man, yeah, I got so many more moves. He was like, but I got close to that 40-second clock. So you know Flores grabbed him. It wasn't even like great. He was like, yo, dude, cut it short, right? You move the kickoff back 5 yards. That's how Brian seems to operate. But the team, man, they look like they're having fun, finally. You know, it'll be interesting to see linebacker-wise. If we're talking, okay, so you gave a little overview of the Saints defense. Look, Miami has finally found an identity. It's been a long time since we had it, but we got it, okay? This winning streak has come with the fact that we've started running the ball. Are we good at running the ball? Not usually, but we run it. Right. So literally 28, 30 times a game, we're running the ball. Right. And if you keep grinding like that, it just opens up everything else that plays to Tua's strengths. It's an RPO offense, a lot of quick outs, a lot of motion. I was listening to one of the analysts the other night. They said that like the Dolphins offense reminds them of Princeton basketball. You know how there's always somebody moving and picking and like you'll see. Dolphins, there's always a man in motion, a fake option, left side, go to the right. There's a ton of movement to disguise what's happening, but it's all gathered because of the offensive line. Get the ball out quick. So Tua's not a big arm guy. I mean, he can be, but we're really not going to beat you over the top. The guy who was supposed to do that, Will Fuller, should be a wanted man. That dude just stole straight $10 million from Miami. A finger, and now I think he's done for the year. We gave him $10 million guaranteed for a year, and he's caught two balls, and one broke his finger. Anyway, so over the top, it's not the threat. I mean, Waddle's going to be back, but Waddle's looking more like Jarvis Landry with wheels. Everybody fell in love with Duke Johnson. How could you not? Last week was awesome. You know, for him to come back, after playing at the University of Miami, suit up for the Dolphins. When he talked about he used to create a player in middle school on Madden that was a running back that played for the Dolphins. And he gets his first 100-yard game and scores two touchdowns. That was huge. Do I think Duke Johnson all of a sudden became an every down back in the NFL? No. I mean, he had a great game. I mean, his emotion, I get it. But I don't think he's a guy that's going to carry us through. We're all cleared up COVID-wise. Right. So Waddle's back. He's good. Philip Lindsay is cleared off of that COVID list, who we picked up off waivers, and he only had it for like one game. He ran with some pad level and some heat. I mean, he was clipping off about four a carry. I like what I saw. So I think we're going to have to rotate the running backs and run it a bunch. But, you know, tight end, if we talk about offense, Mike Gesicki is our swagger. And so I think that'll be interesting to see if your boy Nickel, you know, gets lined up on Gesicki at all. That could be a little fiery matchup.
That's the matchup that has me most concerned. There's two things with the Dolphins offense and thinking about how the Saints play defense. One is a lot of times they got kind of a mobile quarterback like Tua. They abandoned that, and they weren't blitzing Brady. They were only bringing four almost every play, and they were attacking. But against mobile quarterbacks, and it drove me insane against like Jalen Hurts, who's more run, I would say, first than Tua is. But same kind of philosophy. The Saints often go into this contain rush where the ends are just setting the edge. They're not trying to rush the passer, and they give him all day. And that concerns me a little bit. I don't like that philosophy against the Dolphins. I'm not sure if they're going to do it, but that concerns me. And Gesicki is the other one. I don't know. You know, when we played the Bucs over the past 2 years, Malcolm Jenkins, you know, he's a big safety. He was drafted as a cornerback by the Saints. He's fast enough. I don't, you know, Gronk is not got the same wheels as he had back in the day. Also, I think Gesicki's taller by a couple inches, or at least he looks it to me.
And he's an athletic freak. Like, they showed him when he was at Penn State dunking and reversing. And, like, but we don't know if Gesicki will show up to play, so that should put your nerves at ease. By the first quarter, I can tell you if Gesicki really showed up to play. I mean, he's either does what he did last week and just bats balls around and smacks them, or he decides to actually come out and get involved. So, yeah, I think Jenkins is a good matchup on him.
Yeah, I think they'll probably mix it up a little bit. And Quan Alexander, I mean, he runs like a 4.4 40. He's a linebacker, but he's, you know, he's also not tall, but he's fast. Chauncey Gardner concerns me just because he's really short. I mean, speed-wise, he'd be in his hip pocket, but, you know, just throw the ball up a little bit. he's vertically challenged.
All right, so now, like, we talked a little about Dolphins offense, and we talked about some Saints defense. I kind of told you before, I've been, you know, surface level, right? And so I'll give you my quick shot of what I know about New Orleans offense, and then you can correct me in all of it. Without the quarterback to stretch the field, Taysom Hill, it looks like they've been a little more restricted. You got a lot of injuries going on. Kamara's back, but maybe not fully back. Mark Ingram looks great coming back. Fill me in on this, man. How have they been? Where are you at? I mean, 9 against the Bucs. It's the Bucs. The Bucs D is the Bucs D. So, but I see some games you guys put up some points.
Yeah, and you know, it's even when they put up points against the Packers, for example, they put up 38. The offense didn't actually put up that many yards. It was a lot of just smart play. I don't think the offense ever even got close to last year when it was severely diminished because of Drew Brees being really, you know, not even old, but he was very injured over the course of the year that they, you know, ribs and his foot and all that stuff. Taysom almost beat out Jameis. I mean, it was a closer quarterback competition than people realize. I don't think it's a much different quarterback. Jameis is a guy who can throw the ball 50, 60 yards down the field. Taysom, if he tries to throw deep balls, they usually come out looking like punts. I don't know if his hands are small and he just doesn't get the grip. Now, he also has mallet finger on his middle finger. And that's what Russell Wilson had, and he missed over a month. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's not nothing that – but he did hit his – probably the best deep pass he's thrown in his career against the Bucs. He hit Marquez Callaway for a 44-yard pass. And then he hit him again on a 30-yard pass that – it was that punt thing where, you know, on TV, they said, I was throwing them open. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I hope so, but it looked like other ones I've seen. And a quarterback like him, of course, is so much better if he can make you play deep because, you know, you put your safety in the box because he is, he's the size and strength of a fullback or more. I mean, he is a beast of an athlete. Yeah, I tweeted something about his yards at each position. You know, he's got 1,500 passing yards, 1,500 rushing yards, 500 receiving yards. He's got all these touchdowns. He's blocked a punt. He's got 20 tackles. I mean, he's a ridiculous athlete, what the Saints have him do typically.
Yeah.
You know, when he started four games last year, his completion percentage was over 70%. However, he's not good on short passes or long passes. It's really the intermediate. I am very afraid of him with your corners. I mean, you've probably got the best duo in the NFL. That is the thing that concerns me most. But in fairness to Taysom Hill, he had a lot of drop passes again in this last game against the Bucs, where Callaway, who was the first Saints receiver to get 100 yards in a game, the Saints receivers are basically guys they picked up at a local bus stop or McDonald's. I mean, it's and Deontay Harris was their best. He's 5'6", and he's also suspended for this game, the last game of his three-game suspension. So they're struggling at the wide receiver position. He had his tight ends drop two deep balls that hit him in the hands and the chest. It was the receiving core for the Saints. I'll say this, when the Bucs were complaining about Evans and Godwin going down on Sunday halfway through the game, I said, your receivers are still way better than what the Saints have out there on the field, sadly. It's going to be Ingram, Kamara, who for some reason him and Taysom Hill haven't really connected in the passing game like he has with Drew Brees. It was – he's got quite a history with connecting with running backs in the passing game. But you know, to me as a Saints fan, I would like to see them line up with Ingram, Taysom Hill, Kamara, maybe even throw Prentice, the fullback, back there and just run the ball 50 times and see what happens and throw a few deep shots just to make sure the safety's paying attention.
So what's funny is, and this is going to sound like way cockier than I ever am about anything, right? In this, like, the Dolphins are embarrassingly rich in the secondary. Mm-hmm. When you have Xavien Howard and Byron Jones, okay, and now Brandon Jones, who's come into his own, and then, quite honestly, if the rest of the league's not seeing it, Javon Holland's the steal of the 2021 draft. This guy's everything that you thought he was going to be. There's the little guy. He was drafted to be what we tried to get Minkah Fitzpatrick to be, but Minkah was too good to be that, right? Legitimately, when this thing busted out with Baltimore with a zero blitz, look, you're not going to see zone from Miami. We're going to man you up, straight up. And they're going to put Xavien on an island, they're going to put Byron on an island, and maybe Brandon Jones will hang out in the back, but either him or Holland's coming. I mean, the zero cover is what you're going to see. And the beauty of that is that it allows that front seven to completely open up, man. I mean, now – you know, last week it was Van Ginkle coming, Jerome Baker with a couple of sacks, you know, like the entire defensive line. We can outman you, right, with the front seven now and not worry about it. In the Jets game, literally Xavien Howard had zero targets. Daddy. They did not throw a ball to a guy that Howard was covering the entire game.
It's got
one
island.
Side of the field, right? One side of the field shut down, right? And so when you can do that, your defense gets fired up in ways that they and Holland will be back. So, and you said it yourself, man, I don't see a receiver who scares me.
No.
Right? I don't. So I think passing the ball is going to be a problem. Now, flip side, there's three things that primarily give the Dolphins issues almost every year. Mobile quarterback. Taysom Hill's very mobile. Mm-hmm. I don't see him as like, you watch him way more than me, but is he fast? I mean, he seems big and hard to bring down.
He's fast. His issue is on designed pass plays, he doesn't have the instinct to run. On designed runs, he'll bulldog.
Oh, wow.
On designed pass plays, now this year against the Jets, I would say, and even against Dallas, he did it a couple times. He's been better, but the problem is he will sit there and he tries to be a pocket passer. And ends up taking sacks, and he's also had some fumbling issues, not this year, but now he has a bad finger, so presumably you hit him, there's a decent chance.
I just had Tannehill flashbacks. Tannehill was so driven to be a pocket passer. He wouldn't leave the pocket. You're like, just toss it out of bounds, do something.
Yeah.
But Taysom looks like a big guy. And those guys give us trouble. Backs like Kamara scare the hell out of me because the Dolphins defense is aggressive, will come up, but being aggressive is a two-way street, right? I mean, if a guy like Kamara gets an angle on us, that can be bad, and it can be bad quick. Right. So small guys like that move that way, you know, have had a lot of success. And traditionally, we can't cover the tight ends, but for the life of me, man, I don't even know who the tight end is in New Orleans. And, I mean, that's on.
Adam Troutman has not been good. He had one good game, and then he got hurt. Came back last week, dropped the big ball. Nick Vinette, who's always been a blocking tight end, he's looked decent, but he was injured most of the year. The guy I really thought was the X factor for this game just got put on the COVID list today, Juwan Johnson, who's a wide receiver, or last year was a wide receiver. He was 6'4", 235. They converted him to tight end. Okay. He got two touchdowns in week one. He makes some big plays. He's super athletic, big range kind of guy. Of course, presumably he's not going to be playing. I guess he's got an extra day. So it's possible, but yeah, they don't. My thing is, I was thinking back. I watched the Ravens Dolphins game, and they did just like cover zero, just really just rushed everyone. It seemed like on every play. And I'm sitting here now thinking, would Taysom Hill, Lamar Jackson got exposed, I would say, in that game from several perspectives that we don't need to get into, can Taysom beat that?
with the heat that we were bringing, guys like Javon Holland and Brandon Jones were so athletic that Lamar was locked. And the other part of that is, man, what we talked about at the beginning of the season of guys who hadn't come on, Jalen Phillips is quietly having one hell of a year. And literally, I talked about this on one of the pods before, the one before the Jets, so in the Giants game, right? In that game, Jalen Phillips broke the Dolphins rookie season record for sacks a game ago. Okay. All right. Waddle broke the Dolphins rookie reception record a game ago. Waddle and Phillips halfway through the season broke the records for an entire season for what rookies have done. Jalen Phillips has come on strong on the outside. He's bringing heat. It's bringing up Agba, the guys on the inside. Christian Wilkins doesn't just catch touchdowns. He don't get enough credit for what he does on the inside. Defensively, this defense can be as good as it wants to be. I'm hoping that the Jets game scared them a little bit because they kind of kicked it into gear late. I think from an offensive standpoint, your guys that scare me are Kamara. Just because I know it's going to be tough to score and move the ball against New Orleans. This one could be a Monday night game that's only enjoyed by Dolphins and Saints fans. Everybody else might tune in at 6-3 and go, these guys suck.
Yeah, no, well, that's the beauty of it. If you're real tight, and I think some people may have enjoyed the Saints Sunday night game against the Bucks only to see Brady in misery. But otherwise,
Dolphins fan, it's one of my favorite things.
If the Saints Dolphin games ends 9-0, people are going to be angry that they watched the game. Except for the winning team's fans.
Exactly. Well, so let's get to it, man. What do you think? I mean, you mentioned Juwan James. What do you think is the key to victory, man? What has to happen for the Saints to come out and take this one and move to 8-7?
The main key, I think, for the Saints is really the defense has had moments of excellence where they look like they're one of the greatest defenses that's ever played. And against the Bucs, that was one of them. I mean, that was, you can say they lost some guys with injury. Halfway through the game, they still were being shut out. They actually moved the ball better when those guys were out, oddly. Not much better, but a little better. Against Aaron Rodgers in week one, just the Packers scored 3 points. Rodgers threw a couple picks. They just looked impossible to move the ball on. Then they've also had a lot of letdown games. You know, a game against the Giants earlier this year, they gave up. Now, they lost 27-21 in overtime, so they did only give up 21 in regulation, but they had a lead and blew it. They, you know, they sat back on the defense, and the defense kind of – they just have a tendency, I would say, to play up or play down to their competition at times. And I don't think the Dolphins, they should be playing down all that much. But I think they look at, well, we just did that to Brady. We'll coast against Tua and the Dolphins. That's the key, I think, is the defensive intensity. You know, again, I would argue that their philosophy needs to be go get Tua, don't not contain Tua, go get him. We'll see what Dennis Allen does. He's obviously much smarter than me, but that would be my personal thought, is go get him. You know, let the coverage stand up behind you and send the front four, because you're right. That's the biggest. The Dolphins offensive line you mentioned, and the Saints defensive line, now that they've got Jordan and Davenport Onyemata back, he missed the first half of the season. All those guys are just animals. They will destroy opponents like cartoon characters at times. That if they all show up, you know, the front four can make the back seven's job much easier.
Yeah. Kind of the reverse Dolphin, right? Our back guys make that front seven work way easier. And on your guys, you got the front end making the back easier. You know, for me, you kind of touched on it right there. I'm going to look, if I say an overall key, it's this: maintain our identity on offense. That's it. Maintain the identity, meaning don't stop running the ball, even if we're not being successful. Right. Tua needs to go back to the Tua he was the 5 games before, where he was completing 65-70% of his passes. Okay. Low probability of, you know, let's throw the outs, let's throw the slants, go to what you know, and, you know, a lot of motion, but really maintaining that identity is going to be the key. Because this is one thing that's happened in this winning streak is finally, when you hear coaches and teams talk about, you got to play off each other. Everybody's done that, right? Like, the defense makes a big play, the offense goes and scores. The offense goes down and scores, the defense makes a big play. Even to the point where our punter was awful midseason. Pilardi was awful. And then all of a sudden, he's pinning everybody inside the 10. Like, he's the punter we thought. They all come together, right? If the defense starts feeling like they have to win the game and press, we're going to be in trouble. Because literally, you know, a bad angle on Kamara is gone. And Marcus Callaway is actually a pretty good receiver. He's not, you know, and depending on what happens with the coverage or wherever it can be, again, you've got guys who can make a play. So for me, the offense has to maintain its identity, and that starts with the offensive line. I think we've gotten better as an offensive line because we've committed to the run. You know, I used to always hear all the cliches in football, but they say, like, these big guys like to hit. Mm-hmm. Let them hit. Line them up and let them go hit so that they get that flow, that feel, right? And, like, let a line be a line. But if we don't contain that front four, it's going to be a long day. I mean, Tua is used to getting rid of it quick, but you got a lot of athletic DBs, and you know, I might be having flashbacks to that pick six in the fourth quarter. You know, if Tua starts getting it out too quick, you know, jump one and you go the other way.
Well, and that's where the Saints can be beat, is they like to undercut routes a lot in the secondary. Marshawn Lattimore, he'll occasionally make that wrong read. He's a guy who I think could be a Xavien Howard type player, but he makes some mental mistakes at times. I think he's got the athletic skills, but sometimes he takes it easy. I don't think he's going to be doing that the rest of this season because of what's going on. But yeah, it's
yeah. So yeah, I think we're in for a good game all the way through. Both teams have something to play for. I mean, like you said, for Miami, it literally is. I mean, they were saying this when they were 1-7. We're just thinking about next week. But really, to have any legitimate chance to continue playing into the playoffs, we got to win it out. Do I think that's possible? I do. I mean, if we get past this game on Monday night with a win, Tennessee's in all kind of trouble right now. And I told you, Tannehill loves to stay in the pocket. And if they got no Derrick Henry, we can make Tannehill's life pretty bad. The Patriots are a different team than we played in week one. I give you that. But when I see Flores coach against Belichick, it's always close. So, I mean, you know, if we get to the last week of the season and beating the Patriots gets us in, there's many times we folded last year against the Bills, you know, went against the Bills in week 17 and we're in last year and got embarrassed. I don't think that's this team anymore. These young, cocky guys are coming together. So, yeah, but yeah, it, lose and we're done. But, you know, you guys are a scary team always and at home, you know. That's going to be another tough one. It's never that dome is tough to play in unless you're wearing gold.
Yep. And it's going to be an all blackout game for the fans and the players. They sent out the messaging today.
Oh, yay. All right. So, Jeff, man, this has been great. I would propose that once the dust settles on Tuesday, maybe we come back here and revisit this thing. We can do a little recap, see how this goes. It's always nice, again, to get the perspectives on both sides of what's happening. Now that we've had this little thing, you know, I'm going to be talking trash Monday. So just keep the app open.
Yeah. We'll see if both of us feel like it Tuesday. I have a feeling one might need another day to recover.
Right. We might need another day. Look, if you get blocked by halftime, right? Like you try to send a message, you've been blocked. We'll understand what it means, right? Because if I have to block you by halftime, that means it's the first block that a Dolphin has thrown all night. So, hey, man, like, seriously, enjoyed this. So much fun. Thank you for setting this up for us. For any of you guys that are going to listen to this, man, check out Jeff does some great work on FL teams. Make sure you check it out. Jeff, what all are you covering over there? What's the podcast and all?
Bolts and Bats in the Bay. I cover the Lightning and the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Lightning and the Tampa Bay Rays, the two Tampa Bay franchises that I love.
So you're in Tampa?
Yeah, St. Pete, yeah.
Okay, all right, man. So then, yeah, that had to be a fun night for you.
Oh, gosh.
Look, stepping outside, I can't hear a cannon. Did anybody hear a cannon? Was there a cannon?
No, good thing is all the cannon, they're still loaded for their next game. They didn't have to fire at once.
That's huge, man. So absolutely, man, check out Bolts and Bats. Awesome pod. Covers a lot of great stuff. You know, of course, Fins in the Sea, check us out on that. Go to FL teams, man. Just literally anything Florida. I've said this so many times, and I know Jeff backs me up on it. What's really cool about the site is it's fans talking about their teams. And, you know, yeah, you'll get statistical breakdowns here or there, but this is more, you know, fans connecting with fans and getting the information on the teams that you care about and what you feel. So it's a great community, man. I'm glad to be a part of it. I know, Jeff, you feel the same. With that, everybody, we will wrap up Behind Enemy Lines, episode one. You know, the Dolphins and the Saints don't play every week, though, so Jeff and I might have to find another name for these team-ups.
Yeah, every 4 years we'll do this, right?
Yeah. What? We'll do it the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, we're there.
Look, you're recording this, so if by some crazy-ass chance that happens, I call
it. Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Hey, thanks so much, Jeff. Appreciate everything. All you guys out there, of course, check out FL Teams. Check us out. Check out Bolts and Bats, Fins of the Sea, all that good stuff. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. And looking forward to Monday night.